Good evening, and welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow. I am doing the show tonight on this fine spring evening with my good friend Sue.
Hey, Mike.
And some other guy, genre, I think.
Genre Domus.
Great. Yeah. Spring. really into it.
The days are getting longer.
Yay.
We'll get more bright sun and blistering heat.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Someone shipped me to Yukon, the Yukon or something. Just.
This time of year, you want to head down towards, like, you know, Tierra del Fuego or something like that. Down south.
I want to become a scientist.
Cold and rainy.
And go to the Antarctic.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah. So, by the way, before we get into the more important stuff, but I was just noticing. There's been an uptick globally of, you know, they're still scattered and isolated, but cases of H5N1 bird flu in people.
Good.
So this is, you know, exactly the kind of thing that could lead to...
Just trying to get it to mutate.
Right, exactly.
Pressure's on.
and I was like, well, you know, that's not good, you know, especially if it could spread globally or whatever. Well, so here's the thing. Earlier this year, they found a dead polar bear, and when they examined it, it had been killed by that bird flu. That was up in Alaska. They also found the same bird flu in birds down on the shore of Antarctica, and they'd never found bird flu down there before. So it's already all over. So we really might want to think about getting ready for that.
Your hypothesis is.
My hypothesis is that, you know, another flu outbreak like we had 100 years ago is, you know, kind of thing that could easily happen. And I don't see any reason to suppose that it wouldn't be really bad. So this might be a time to, I don't know, maybe start developing vaccines ahead of time or something. I don't know. What do I know?
Make sure you have all your masks at home.
Yes. Well,
don't throw them away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, COVID was a truly shattering experience for the world. And a flu outbreak similar to what happened in 1918 would also be similarly shattering. So, yeah. So on that cheerful note, if you want to, you know, commiserate with us, you should email contact at civilpoliticsradio.com or, well, actually, that's really it. That's the best way to reach us. Contact at civilpoliticsradio.com. That's our website with for our show with previous episodes and all kinds of other good stuff. So you should check that out. You know, it'll fill hours of your time. So, yeah. Other than that, I don't know, the big news this week is a container ship called the Dali, out of India, 300 meters long, weighing over 100,000 tons, crashed into one of the piers supporting the Francis Scott Key Bridge, across the Patapsco River in Baltimore, Maryland. And the, most of the 1.5 mile long bridge just... came down. So
quick. It was very fast in the morning, right? In the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, about 1:30 in the morning local time. John, sorry. All right. No, all right. You gave me that look.
I was looking at Sue.
Oh, because I wasn't close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. While I'm on
the mic, like this is a huge disaster for multiple reasons. A lot of people got hurt. A lot of people perished. They're still
six dead that I'm aware of.
Yeah. They're still recovering people. There's also the fact that the Port of Baltimore is a major hub for shipping. I was listening to
a lot of cars that are imported to the country come through
and
there.
And farm equipment too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I was listening to an interview with Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary, mm-hmm. and he was saying that thankfully the other ports up and down the East Coast can absorb the massive amounts of shipping that go through the Port of Baltimore. If you watch The Wire, then you know.
Yeah.
But
they're all going to have to really be strained, though, I think, is what
the thing is that Baltimore, the Port of Baltimore specifically, is designed for a certain kind of vehicle. So when you're going into when you're shipping to other places, it's going to cause a backup because it's not made like the same way. It's not designed the same way. So there is going to be some issues with shipping, and hopefully that won't impact like food delivery and stuff like that. Hopefully it's just like luxury items like cars, you know, like you were saying.
I wonder what goes out from Baltimore.
I could look it up.
Food or something. I do know they were trying to...
I think a lot of bulk industrial goods go out as well. I think that my vague hopefully accurate from looking at, you know, learning more about this after following this disaster, was that, you know, like basically it's a port that specializes in like big industrial machinery and things like
that. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cars and yeah, industrial equipment, farm equipment. So hopefully that doesn't affect farming.
Yeah.
I heard that the koala bears are concerned because the eucalyptus pulp that comes for them comes into the Port of Baltimore. They're trying to find another port to get it. So. Eucalyptus pulp.
Right. But I mean, like why is Australia importing eucalyptus pulp from us?
For koala bears in our zoos.
Oh, okay, right.
Sorry.
No, that makes sense. I was just like, koala, they're only found in Australia. Oh, yeah, right, okay, yeah, so.
Yeah, and they eat a lot of it because it has like no calories at all, so they have to eat like a whole.
They also need vaccines for the clap.
Yes.
Well, chlamydia, yeah. But yes. Yeah.
I thought that's what the clap was.
I think it is. You're right. I was just being a little more scientific than...
going back in history, I think originally it was syphilis, but yeah, you know, like any kind of STI, I think could be called the clap these days.
I think syphilis comes from bunnies, but I could be wrong.
I'll tell you. Either way. I will tell you off air the really vile reason why it's called the clap.
No, we don't need that.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You don't need to know about that.
I'm good. I can look it up on my own.
Don't.
And not hear it and then remember it in your voice. I don't need that.
Yeah, just don't. You'll be better off. Anyway.
Just don't end up on that side of the internet, basically. That's what we're saying.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, the bridge is being cleared up right now.
There's a big crane there starting to lift debris out, but
yeah,
I don't know how long.
Our biggest crane, right, just arrived or is on its way, the biggest crane in the U.S.?
The Ichabod, right? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, the Ichabod crane.
There's not really a timeline for repair right now.
Yeah.
But the federal government has pledged like $60 million or something.
Sure.
Billion or something like that.
I think whatever it takes, which is.
Yeah, it's going to be whatever it takes because they need that open.
So do you pledge it now? This is a fiscal question. Like, you know, kind of what it's going to cost. So you set it aside now, the money, and bond it. Or do you do what my party's trying to get Biden to do, which is pay for the stuff that you owe this year. Next year, we'll have another vote for the stuff that you need to. It's a big project. It's going to be many, many, probably.
It's, well, the key bridge took years to build.
Five or six, I think.
Yeah, it was opened in 1977. And I think construction started like the year after I was born. So maybe 2 years. Yeah, 5 or 6 years is my recollection. But I mean, they also had
you're
to like.
You're so young.
I know. I can't wait to go to my high school prom. but you know, they had to like put the piers in and all the supports and whatnot. There's a lot of basic work they had to do in building the foundations for it that they wouldn't have to do to rebuild it. But yeah. I think a big question is what how will they rebuild it? And does it truly make sense to rebuild it? I mean, I suspect they will, because they've already got everything else in place. You know, like they've got the roads and they got the supports and, you know, like people were used to driving back and forth. Yeah. But
well, and it didn't have the bumpers around it that modern bridges have, because the ships weren't that big when they built it. And so they put these bumpers outside of the
The pylon. Bollards. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're obviously going to redesign that part of it, I guess.
Yeah, but
right?
I mean, it's like a ship that is like the Dali, it's like 990 feet long. And I forget the exact weight, but again, it was over 100,000 tons. Might have been closer to 200, I think, actually. The number, like, yeah, I don't remember. I know.
Certainly when it's loaded, yes.
Yeah. Well, and it was fully loaded. It had just loaded up at the port of Baltimore, full of stuff to go to, I think it was Mumbai. Anyway, the thing is, it was traveling at something like 6 knots or whatever. So I did see some, this is one of those moments where, like, you know, Twitter still has a bit of its old charm.
The momentum.
They were explaining.
Calculating.
Exactly. Like going through, like, look, this is how much energy it would have had. So if you want to stop it, you would have need like 2/3 of the energy of a Saturn V at liftoff in order to stop the ship in time before it crashed into the bridge support.
Or 4 tugboats. No, I don't know how many tugboats, but they said tugboats could.
Tugboats wouldn't have been able to do it.
They can, actually. They move those big containers.
Stop
the ship.
There's an interesting YouTube channel called Casual Navigation that I actually follow, because it has, like, it can be kind of dry, but it's like, you know, weird stuff about, like, here's how navigation works, and here are concerns about, like, when you're towing a ship or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't know anything about this stuff. So it's kind of fascinating to learn. A tugboat could nudge it and divert it, but not stop it. Like, there's no way they would have been able to divert it. But, you know, it's the same logic of, like,
they have huge engines, the tugboats. So
sure. Yeah. No, they have a lot of power. Like, with enough notice, they absolutely could have. I mean, 2 tugboats had muscled it away from the pier and helped it get underway originally. So yeah, 2 tugboats could have done that, but the tugboats had, once the ship had, like, sort of was underway in the shipping channel, that they peeled off. And the ship was sped up, like, I think, like, the cruising speed with the tugboats was 4 knots, and I think it had gotten up to 6. And it was basically like the idea was it was building up towards cruising speed, because it takes a while to get up there. And when the power cut out, for whatever reason it did, insert Republican conspiracy theory here.
Yes, I was going to tell you what the theory is.
All right. You know, it was going at you know, over 6 knots, there's just no way it could stop. And the bollards wouldn't have stopped it, I don't think. Like, bollards might have.
The new ones, the ones they designed for the modern ports, could, because they're far away from the pylon. They're actually out away from it.
I don't think there's room for that in the Patapsco River, I think is part of it. But yeah, so what is the conspiracy? Sorry.
Well, not speaking to all my colleagues' conspiracy theories.
I heard it was aliens.
Or the Ukrainians, or, you know, the Russians.
Atlanteans, it was the Lemurians came up, and they were like, we're tired of you, and, you know, we're not just real in the Marvel universe, we're here to sabotage you, to sort of piss off the Wakandans or something.
Or Biden did it so that he could show how good he was in an emergency. The one that I heard that I read...
Right, he was there sabotaging the ancients personally.
Yeah. Well, the one that I like is that they, it came out sort of early on, and then nobody's talking about it, because they don't want people speculating, but of course I'm going to, is bad gas, because the generators and the engine failed. And they thought that maybe, and it was black, a lot of black smoke.
That
in fact it may have been bad gas. So the gas might have been bad from, or it's actually diesel.
Probably diesel. I don't know what fuel.
Number 2 diesel. Yeah.
But like, so like they might have fueled up with the wrong sort of fuel or something, or that might have been an impurity in it or something.
Yeah, or something that was one of the theories because of the way it went out.
Now that's an actual like theory, because Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about sabotage.
Yeah,
stuff like
yeah, that. I've heard a lot of those, and fill in the blank who you want to blame. You know, it's perfect. It's sort of like the Russians blaming the Ukrainians for the ISIS-K attack. Right. I mean, they are just, and those the terrorists, they beat them. Did you see the pictures of the folks they caught?
Yeah.
Yeah, they really beat them up.
They wheeled one guy in a wheelchair into the courtroom, and he was unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't want him telling any tales, so.
I presume they actually would want him to tell tales to find out more about how this happened and hopefully to stop it.
Well, but Putin doesn't want it to be ISIS. They want it to be something that makes the country pull together, not that he can't
control.
Sure.
Never let a crisis go by unexploited.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think it's necessary. Well, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on how Vladimir Putin can do better tyranny. But I mean, surely like ISIS in Ukraine, you can make some connection. I mean, we did it with Iraq, right?
We certainly did.
We did war crimes. And over 100,000 people in Iraq died. It's hilarious. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just heartsick over Palestine.
But that too.
This port of Baltimore, I mean, I'm glad that Pete Buttigieg said that we're going to be able to use the other ports, but I just think and for the people that are commuting, that's quite a ways around, right? Yeah, you have to go.
It's a real problem for them.
The commuters,
you know, it's a hassle. I hope it doesn't lead to a lot of people losing jobs or whatever. I suppose it might. I don't know. It depends on how much of an inconvenience it is.
And that's very central to the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the distribution from there is easier than it is from the Port of New York or New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume those are the other ports.
There's major ports all up and down the U.S. Even Boston has some shipping going in and out. Yeah. But
we sure like our seafood.
We do. The chowder. But I think it's really stunning that only six people died, given I think there could be I don't know. But my understanding is that when the Mayday call went out, the harbor pilots who were, trying to get control, maintain or regain control of the Dali were like, oh, no, there's nothing we can do and there's not enough time. So they sounded the warning. And I guess it instantly went out to the police, who were then barricading the road so people wouldn't be driving on the bridge. And so I don't think I think they managed to block traffic from going onto the bridge in time so that nobody was driving over when it fell. But the six men who were doing bridge repair work, my understanding is that they didn't actually have a direct line to them. So they had to call them or something.
Yeah, different radio system. And they're talking about maybe.
Which is a lesson we should have learned after 9/11, but.
Yeah. And they wouldn't even have, they just have to, if you're working on a bridge over water, that you would have a marine band radio on and then you'd hear a Mayday. You just have to have it with you. It wouldn't be that you had to communicate in two directions. Also just be, a monitoring.
They were probably subcontractors because they were undocumented immigrants.
Were they undocumented?
I believe so. Mm.
I hadn't heard they were undocumented. I heard that they were originally Guatemalan and El Salvadorian.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if they're undocumented. It's one of the reasons why we have a problem with immigration, because it's we have people coming in doing important and skilled work, and we're glad to have them doing the work. But, it's if they're undocumented, we can pay them less and stuff. And it's what?
Yeah, one of the guys who's deceased.
And now these men are dead in part because of these shortcuts we're taking.
He was supporting, I think, a family at home, cousins here. I don't think he was undocumented. I think he actually had work papers.
I'm double-checking. Yeah, please do. I honestly don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, but at some point I would think it would be, if they're doing skilled work, I think it would be hard to, for a subcontractor to be because ultimately it would be reporting to the state.
They get special visas. I know the guys that worked on my roof had special visas.
Yeah.
And they just came up for the summer and did roofing.
Well, and you know, visas, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that.
Work visas.
Let's make sure that, you know, we can collect taxes and they get paid properly and have, you know, benefits and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, benefits would be great. Like, for example, warning when there's an emergency. But to be completely fair, I don't know if they could have heard the alert, down tools and gotten off the bridge in, I believe, 90 seconds is the amount of time they
were filling potholes, is what they said.
Right.
Yeah. So they were on the ground level. They weren't up painting the bridge or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, actually, if they'd been up on one of the towers, they might have been okay. Because they'd have be hanging on to that as opposed to. But yeah, you know, could they have gotten off the bridge in 90 seconds? Perhaps not.
You'd have to believe what you were hearing, too, to do it and understand the language, because I think they also had trouble with language barriers.
I don't know, but certainly that's a possibility anytime you're
I think there is a GoFundMe for at least one of the guys, though, and his whole family.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Just the whole... Yeah.
But somebody who went in the water and survived, that's amazing. 185 feet. Yeah, I think one of them survived.
Oh, I
one of the survivors was pulled out of the water.
Oh, okay.
One of the only two.
I missed that. I thought everybody who survived were people who weren't on the, you know, got off the bridge.
Yeah, there's a supervisor, I think, who got off, but there are two that went in the water, and one's in serious condition and one's in less serious condition. But anyway, somebody went in the water and survived it. One person. Because the first diver on the scene found them. So.
Oh, great. At least one of them was undocumented.
Mm.
Yeah.
He was actually in touch with a lawyer to try to get citizenship so he could go home to see his family.
I imagine ICE can't wait to deport him.
Yeah. Time for work papers for anybody that wants to work.
Yeah. You know, like, why are we making this more complicated?
Nope. Business wants it.
Sure.
You know, it's strange. We have this pretend going on here.
Well, and not to point too many fingers, but, you know, but like part of it is because...
Listeners at home, he's pointing both his fingers at me.
Actually, just like four of them.
Just... Do the whole hand. Do both hands. Like lightning fingers.
Oh, okay. Like, exactly. Like Spider-Man. You're just going to...
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm Emperor Palpatine. Like, yo, young Skywalker, Spider-Man. You've come here to die.
Oh, what was that TV show that was... Was it Lightning? Blue Light? Black Lightning?
What about Black Lightning?
He would do that. He would point at... And he would just go... And he would...
Because he could throw lightning out of his hands. It wasn't his fingers.
Yeah.
What are you talking
fingers
about?
Fingers are on the hand.
Well, because he reminded me of it, so never mind.
Zot.
People at home cannot follow this. I'm sorry. It's silly.
They never can.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's nothing more exciting than like color commentary on like what people in a radio show are doing. Yeah. Anyway, you hear it here, folks.
You want to make fun of Ted Cruz for a second?
Yeah, I do.
Always. Boy.
But.
Well, the bridge.
We can do that. One last thing
on the bridge, which I said before the show. So does the flag still stand? That's all I can say.
Oh, our flag is not still there.
Yeah.
Well.
That's a
womp. Francis Scott Key about the attack on Baltimore in the War of 1812.
Horrible person.
So I've heard, and certainly like the later verses of the song, are.
People
really
don't sing them.
There's a reason, because they're racist.
Yeah.
he was a slave owner and was really mad about escaped slaves fighting for the British.
And the British Army freeing people as they went.
Yeah, he was super, super mad about that.
Time for a new name for the bridge when it's rebuilt?
I'd be fine with me.
I think that would be really great. Maybe name it after like one of the people that perished or something. I don't know.
Huh? Could do that.
Yeah. Also, just on an aside,
Memorial Bridge. Yeah, you could do that.
Our national anthem should be America the Beautiful. It should not be the Star Spangled Banner. That's my opinion. Just throw a grenade. Boom. I can throw grenades too.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to think about it.
I,
you know, it's sort of heritage versus slavery. Heritage versus, okay. No. Yeah, we should rename it, and we should get a different.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I was doing a Nikki Haley there. I was like, what's my audience and who am I?
Well, and so I think the pointing finger part I was about to do was basically just like there's a faction in the Republican Party and a pretty powerful one, unfortunately, that basically is like making immigration into an issue, making like, you know, because it's basically like it's nativism, you know, it's like, oh, we're worried about immigrants. It's an invasion. It's the crisis at the southern border. And, you know, it's all about like we're afraid of, you know, we're afraid of.
We're all immigrants. It's crazy.
I know. Well, more than that, like, I mean, even if you want to say, you know, like I was born in this country and my ancestors have been here for 400 years. So, sure. But regardless, it's, you know, the fundamental principle of our country is, you know, all people are created equal. We all matter. So, like, you want to be an American? You can be an American. Are you a human being? Cool. You can be an American. And you've got rights here. Even if you aren't technically, you know, an American citizen, here you still got rights to, like, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Because that's what we care about, right?
We like to compete.
Right.
Yep.
Well, and it's just, you know.
It makes us great, as Reagan said, because people come, they have aspirations, really? They energize the country.
I mean, it's good rhetoric anyways.
Well, it's very good rhetoric. It's really great to get elected.
Yeah.
Especially in 1980.
And he gave a lot of amnesty to a lot of immigrants. A lot of people in the Republican Party do not like what he did.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But he did it. So, but I think business, if you're from a business perspective, you know, we need all the people that want to work that we can get. So,
yeah. Well, and from a business perspective, make actual externalities like health insurance and so forth.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can properly assess businesses for damages they do to the environment, for example, you know?
Yeah.
So
that'll be the end to some of the oil industries.
Yeah. No kidding.
Oh, Ted Cruz. Oh, after the break.
Yeah. Let's save a little something, a brief moment of, oh, Ted Cruz, for after the break. So, on that cliffhanger moment, we're going to play some PSAs, promos, and station IDs here on Civil Politics on Valley Free Radio. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Please do not go away. Right back. We shall be.
Oh, my God.
I love Yoda.
This is Professor Howard Zinn. The independent, non-commercial radio station you're listening to is really important in the maintenance of democracy. Thomas Jefferson once said, an informed democracy will behave in a reasonable manner. So if you care about being informed, if you care about democracy, if you're a reasonable person, you are, of course. Please support your source for uncensored news and views and the voice of your community.
Did you know that veterans make up about one-third of America's adult homeless population? Only 3.9 cents of each income tax dollar last year went to veterans' benefits. Ever wonder about where your tax money goes? More information on how your tax money is being spent can be found at nationalpriorities.org.
Dear Massachusetts, marijuana is now legal for adult use. Keep your kids and pets safe by keeping all cannabis products in child-resistant packaging. Store your cannabis in a lockbox out of sight and out of reach from your children, and teach them that cannabis and alcohol are for adults only, and that prescription medications are only meant for the person they are prescribed for. Brought to you by the Northampton Prevention Coalition, working together to protect the developing brain. NorthamptonPrevents.org.
Sundays from 4 to 6. Please join Adam on the Air for Metal Education. Each week we'll delve into a different area of the genre, take requests, and generally cause mayhem and enjoy our Sunday school. That's WXOJ FM Metal Education with Adam on the Air every Sunday. See you there.
Reagan? Reggae Down is on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m. Turn on your radio for great sounds from international reggae artists, roots, dancehall, DJ mixes, and rhythms. Get down with Reggae Down every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Valley Free Radio.
Have you always loved to read but find it hard to do these days? Forbes Library offers a variety of alternatives to keep you reading long into the night. A large selection of large print books, audiobooks, and easy-to-use ebooks and e-audiobooks are available to borrow. You will find bestsellers, classics, and nonfiction offerings. Forbes Library is now affiliated with the National Library Service to provide audiobooks, magazines, and even the daily news for people with vision loss, difficulty holding traditional book or newspaper formats, and for people with certain learning disabilities. Our staff is happy to help you find just the book in just the right format. Call 413-587-1013 to find out more.
I tried to quit on my own, but it never worked. I came to my first NA meeting and didn't know what to expect. I heard people talk about the same feelings I had and knew I wasn't alone. Recovery happened for me in NA. It can happen for you, too. Call Narcotics Anonymous toll-free at 1-866-NA-HELP-U or log on at newenglandna.org.
Massachusetts now requires you to recycle fluorescent and other mercury-containing bulbs. A tiny amount of mercury is an essential element in energy-efficient lighting. But when you throw these bulbs in the trash, they can break and release mercury into the environment. Do your part. Keep mercury out of the environment. Recycle used fluorescent bulbs. For convenient recycling solutions, visit lamprecycle.org or almr.org. Homeowners, visit earth911.org for a drop-off center near you. Brought to you by the National Electrical Manufacturers Association.
A Baha'i Perspective, hosted by Warren Odess Gillette, is a weekly radio broadcast of biographical interviews of people who have either chosen the Baha'i faith as a way of life or who have a relationship with the Baha'i faith. You can listen to the broadcast on Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WXOJLP 103.3 FM. That's Valley Free Radio.
Hi, I'm Steve Chelmsford. I'd like to invite all of you to check out my show, The Mop Tops and the King, featuring music of the Beatles and Elvis, and many artists in between, every Saturday night at 7 p.m. right here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP.
Did you know that when you recycle bottles, cans, and paper, you help the planet and the local economy? Western Mass operates its own materials recycling facility, the Springfield Materials Recycling Facility, or MRF, where recyclables are sorted and prepared for sale to manufacturers. MRF employs local people, and by providing a local delivery site, saves money for local communities. Learn more at springfieldmrf.org.
Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Take the time to recycle, because we only have one.
And we're back with Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm still Michael Dow. I'm still doing the show with Genre and Sue. And Sue, did you heard about I'm probably making too much of it, but you heard about how, Congress is finally struggling mightily to get a number of funding bills properly through to actually keep the government open for more than like the next 10 minutes.
You sent me quite a story.
Yeah.
Oh, our favorite guy, Ted Cruz.
The man, seriously, it seems like everyone who knows him genuinely seems to hate. I'm boggled.
I've never met him, so I have no idea.
I don't know, but just like I've seen lots of people who are like, yeah, I went to law school with Ted Cruz. I knew him, whatever. Like, I've never heard any, colleague, fellow legislator, person who went to school with him, childhood friend, anybody come forward and say, oh, no, Ted's great. It's like, you don't understand him. Or, yeah, he can rub you the wrong way. He can be abrasive.
No one ever says that.
Yeah, certainly no one comes out and says it publicly. So yeah.
I have a question.
Is he married? He has kids.
He is married. He has kids. Yeah. I don't know. And like every time I see him interacting with his kids, like, again, it might just be like they're selectively putting the photos in there. But it always seems like his kids are sort of like not thrilled to be around him.
No, they've been they've they're definitely like coaches, but and remember, he's married. We know he's married because Trump like really went after his wife. And then he kissed his butt. But here's my question.
And his dad, yeah.
Here's my question. All right. So he was running for president.
He did kill Kennedy. You can understand why he'd go after his dad.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't? Who amongst us hasn't?
Right. And did we ever conclusively demonstrate that Cruz, that Senator Cruz isn't the Zodiac killer? I mean, I was just...
No, it just got dropped.
Okay, right.
So here's the question. Senator Cruz did run for president in 2016.
He did?
Yes, he did.
He won Iowa.
What would have happened if he got the nomination? Do you think...
People would stay home, probably.
Do you think that they would have chosen Biden to run against him?
In 2016?
Yeah.
No, because President...
No, not Biden.
Clinton. Hillary Clinton?
Clinton, yeah. How do you think so. What do you think that would have done?
I think so, because she got 7 million more than Trump. So
3
I
million.
Think...
Biden got 7 million.
Oh, sorry. What would have happened?
Well, women only get 59 cents on the dollar, so that's why she only got 3.
Right.
So.
Oh, my God.
Honestly.
You're right. But oh, my God. Like, that would have been a weird race.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a weird race.
Women like Hillary. They really do. They admire her. So I think they, and that's 50-ish, 51% of the pop, so. Population.
I think
she would have won handily.
Oh, yeah.
And the Russians, who would the Russians have won? Because they helped Trump.
Yeah, I think it's still weird to me that Donald Trump apparently has a charismatic appeal, but he does.
Yeah.
He clearly does. Yeah. And Ted Cruz does not.
Oh, and actually Putin hates Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So maybe he would have helped Putin, you know, the
I don't
robots.
Think anybody could have helped him.
Well,
Cruz, no.
A friend of mine was opining that the whole reason Texas elects has put Ted Cruz in the Senate and keeps him there is sort of a giant middle finger to the rest of the country. Like, yeah, well, this is what we think of you. We're sending this guy out there.
Or they really don't want him around the state, which is what we did to Dukakis when we tried to get him to run for office. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Just pay him to go away. Yeah. Just get him out of here.
Dukakis, the saying was out of the state in 88. That's what a lot of people were saying.
Oh,
really?
My God.
Yeah. Sorry. The secrets of campaigns. But he did a really interesting thing in this bill that you mentioned.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. So knowing that a measure specifically to keep the FAA funded, because given how terribly Boeing aircraft are performing these days, and many airlines, you know, have to use Boeing's aircraft because that's what they own, it would look really bad if the Republicans, you know, like, yeah, we insist that you cut funding to the FAA and now we have plane crashes. Like that is not a good look for anybody, even if one doesn't actually care about, you know, consumer safety and whatever. Yeah. And of course, Republicans don't, because they're evil. Right.
Well, Congress is very self-interested.
That is
all
true.
Of it.
Yes,
everybody,
that's true.
Even the independents.
Oh, no. Like, I think the number of people who aren't conniving, self-interested weasels in Congress is probably can be counted on, like, at most two hands, maybe.
And they
one.
Don't last very long. Yeah,
probably not. Seeing that this was definitely going to pass, Senator Cruz managed to insert a proviso into that funding to make sure that to allow it so that members of Congress, when they go through airports, can request a police escort.
I wonder why he needs that.
Well, I can certainly understand how having the police keep people at a distance, you know, especially, I mean, you know, like
people accost him. There are a few people in the world that they just accost.
Well, he's right. Just trying to get to Cancun.
I was going
to
say, you know, I mean, like, you never know when he's going to try to get to Cancun. So, yeah.
The poor guy.
And
he's not very poor.
He's supposed to be so smart. He's such a strange character.
I wish he'd think.
Smart is not charisma. That's a whole different stat.
Yeah. You know who's really, really smart and not charismatic? I was just thinking about this today. Noam Chomsky. Brilliant thinker, apparently. I mean, certainly I think
I've listened to him. He's not bad. Maybe that's he's when he's lecturing.
So boring. Like listening to him, like, I mean, seriously, he like I agree with a fair amount of what he says. And I'm just like, God, do I have to listen to you
and
talk?
You don't think it's his age that he's just slow?
Well,
down?
His age certainly has made it worse.
Because I had trouble listening to Biden, and it's just because I can't wait for him to finish what he's saying. Yeah. You know, the words.
Speed it up, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's because I, you know, we all live in an articularchy. We three, that we, you know, you have to get in sideways. You have to speak right up and.
Indeed.
Form your ideas.
Did you say articularchy?
Yeah. It's a nice coinage.
Literally never heard. That's interesting.
I heard in graduate school, they told us.
Oh, I'd never heard that term before. I thought you coined the term.
No, they were saying, because a lot of people in my grad class were like complaining that they had really good grades, but they were still getting marked down. And the professor said, you know, you have to participate in class. You have to be able to defend your ideas on your feet. And you have to. And the argument was that you actually live in an environment where you have to communicate with people around you. Now, social media, I mean, I went to grad school a long time ago, but that ability to say, no, that's wrong. I disagree with you.
Yeah.
And say it, you know, in a way that people can understand what you're saying. It's really important. And they basically graded that. That's how I survived grad school, because I can talk. Mm. I have the chat gene.
Sure. Well,
not chat GPT.
That and actually knowing stuff and, you know, doing the work.
Well, and you learn to make it up really fast on your feet.
Yeah. I
learned
some of that too.
3.259. Is it 5.9? Yeah. It sounds like you're close, right?
Yeah. So, yes, so fair enough. Articularchy is actually a really good term.
And Congress does it. I mean, they don't even listen to each other anymore. They're not even in the.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, it's too bad, because it's actually, I mean, it's what makes people human, kind of, in a way, the social piece.
Certainly, one of the interesting things is if you look at, like, the long, going back to the Greco-Roman eras, you know, like getting up and giving a good speech, a rousing address, has long been sort of part of our political culture. You know, I mean, one of the reasons why Julius Caesar was, you know, the influential figure he was is because he was good at talking to his men and getting them psyched up and giving a speech in the Senate. You know?
Coaches in football, the really successful ones, they motivate people, convince them, persuade. Yeah, it's an important tool.
Yeah.
And Trump does it. You acknowledge it. He does it to some segment of our population.
Yeah.
Kind of scary.
Even when it's not entirely clear what he's talking about, he does seem to be able to get them going.
Well, I think
he's very charismatic.
I think he speaks a kind of idiot savant poetry.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of speaks to people. He says words out of order and, you know, you can't quite hang on it. And I think he speaks to people in a way that people hear.
Well, it's they respond emotionally, and they like, he's good at sort of conveying emotions and then inciting and, you know, and rousing them in people. And you know, I'm not trying to be negative and critical. Like humans are emotional beings. We are emotional thinkers, and emotions are one of our powerful assets in a lot of ways, but certainly makes us manipulable.
Well, and Cruz and Lieberman both didn't have that gene.
Yeah, Joe Lieberman is also, I guess, he was a Democrat. So yeah, Joe Lieberman, another example of
a man. For a little bit. For a while.
Except when it was inconvenient, he was
exactly
a Democrat. But yeah, he was just so lacking in charisma, at least on a stage. Maybe he was just super fun to hang out with at like a cocktail party or, you know, a fundraising mixer or something. Yeah, who knows?
McClain and Gore and Lieberman were the three amigos. Mm-hmm. Go figure.
By the way, since we're talking about Lieberman,
who just died this week at the age of 82.
82, yeah.
And
complications of something, I forget what. Yeah, a fall?
It was a fall.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm not gonna miss him at all. Just, you know, a man who did real damage to the country in his public service.
Well, I think he was such a promoter of insurance companies and tried to put holes in the ACA.
Absolutely.
And that was his job, because, you know, Connecticut's like the mecca of insurance companies, Hartford Boiler and Steam Insurance, you know, all the big insurers of all the industrial. It's sort of like Joe Biden kowtows to the credit card companies.
And Delaware.
Because of Delaware.
Sure. It's a great reason why the Senate is a bad idea.
I didn't mean to pick on only Democrats.
No. But I mean, just Joe Biden in Delaware, Joe Lieberman in Connecticut, Joe Manchin in West Virginia, you know, like each state.
His mining.
Right, exactly. Yep. Yeah. You know, he makes a ton of money off of being a coal broker. Every state can be its own little corrupt fiefdom.
Interest group politics, yes.
Right. Well, it's a locality thing. And by saying we have representation based on state, it means that the corrupt little elites can put one of their own in there and preserve their own narrow partisan interests in ways that are really bad for the rest of the country.
Massachusetts education and seafood.
Well,
but you know,
I'm a big fan of the state we live in. I love Massachusetts. I think there's a lot to recommend it. I think there's a lot of good things about sort of the culture and society we live in here. But you know, I mean, we are still the state of Billy and Whitey Bulger. So, I mean, I don't want to get too far out over my skis here.
Yeah, good point.
I kind of like the Senate.
Really?
You know, you'd like our senators at least here from Massachusetts.
Elizabeth Warren, they're pretty good.
Yeah. Marky's been there too long.
I like the idea of the Senate.
Well, I just want to point out as the name Senate, Senatus from ancient Rome, it's derived from the word Senex, I believe, which means elder, grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very explicitly
an assembly
of elders.
Elders meaning, yeah, not
it's,
age.
It's, yeah, yeah.
No,
age,
no.
Though.
I mean, like wise elders, old like men. Wise, like it doesn't matter. I don't care about that. What I'm saying is that we have the House that represents the people, mm-hmm. and we have the Senate that represents the states. The state as a whole has interest in how the country is run, because they are their own fiefdoms. That's the point, you know. So,
and we do have an interesting system that's different from other countries.
Exactly. Would a parliamentary system be pretty cool? I don't know if that would work in a country like ours. It might, you know, but I think that since each state is basically their own little country and we are in a confederation of countries that make up this nation, then each state has interests that in the federal government, and the people have interests in the federal government. We should have a lot more congressmen. Like, there should be a limit on how many people a congressman can represent.
Yeah,
in my opinion. So
I agree. Yeah. And there technically is one, but it's basically they just revise it like whenever they like need to reapportion seats.
Exactly.
I don't think the Capitol has enough room for them. Isn't
no,
that
they
the
don't.
Problem?
Well, they rebuild.
450 or whatever the limit
multiple
is.
Buildings. We have video and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like you don't. We
it's
have
just
the
like
technology.
We can add another
we can rebuild
state because it would ruin the flag.
So. Oh, right. Yeah.
That's the important thing, the aesthetics.
Yeah, but I agree with you on the Senate. I think they have performed. I don't know if they're going to do it rolling forward, but they have performed a really important function.
When the Senate was first conceived, like it was the states chose the senators.
Yeah.
And then we changed it to the people chose them, which I think is better. But like I said, I think it's the way that the Senate functions now is not good. I like the idea of having the two sides, the two things, the people and the states, because if we're going to have states, then those states as a whole, as an organization, as a country, have interests that might not go along with what the people want.
Well, it certainly allows sparsely populated states that are controlled by narrow parochial interests to wield undue influence in national affairs.
It does, and I don't like that. That's why I said I like the idea of it, but it's broken right now.
Well, no, the breaking is inherent in the structure of it.
Yeah, so we should change it.
I agree we should make a change, and I think the change we should do is we should go to a unicameral Congress.
Mm-hmm.
We should just merge the House and the Senate. Every state should, in addition to having various congressional districts based on, like, you know, you're representing a certain percentage of people, every state should have three general representatives elected to 6-year terms, rotating every 2 years. So instead of two senators, it's three.
Put a lot of thought into this.
I have.
Or is this someone else's thoughts?
No, these are mine.
Wow.
And that way, like, I think part of the problem is, like, the Senate has powers and duties that the House of Representatives doesn't. And I don't think that makes sense. I don't think it should be just up to the Senate to confirm judicial appointments and whatnot.
Well, that's interesting.
Because, you know, why? You know, again, the Senate is much less democratic than the House, because you can have a majority of people sitting in the Senate representing a vastly smaller population. You know, you could have, like, I think you could get up to 25 senators out of several states. I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact number. But basically, like, if you took the population of California and distributed it into smaller states, you'd get to something like 20 senators. And that's – California gets two.
That's my point, though.
I understand the logic of, you know, the interests of California shouldn't be allowed to just dominate everybody. But every state has its own plenipotentiary power within it. And I think – a different mechanism where there is actually a representative of the state government, because senators are elected by the people and they can do, you know, the senators can just ignore whatever the, you know, the
look
governor
at Tommy
state
Tuberville
to
and how right. long he single-handedly held up those promotions.
Right.
People in Texas didn't like that one bit.
Well, he's mm-hmm. not from Texas, but
wasn't he from Alabama?
Oh, no, he's from Florida.
Tuberville? He's yeah. Alabama.
No, he represents Alabama. He's from Florida.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
He lives in Florida.
Does he?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
He lives in Florida, but, and he represents, I mean, technically his residence is Alabama, but he barely lives there.
Yeah.
Like a couple of houses in Florida, I think.
But trying to change sort of the abortion world in the military and holding up all those promotions. But,
yeah.
Nobody agreed with that.
I think there should be, like, a, you know, a representative from the state government who might have a role in the legislature. But I think otherwise the representatives in Congress should ultimately be elected directly by people.
See, I'd be down with that.
Right.
The point is, I like having the people, and I think the House having a lot of power is good, because they're elected quickly and the people elect them, even though, like, the people elect jerks. That's a big problem. And
free to do that.
They're free to do that, yes. And the rules governing the Senate and the House just are bonkers. But they differ. Yeah, and I know, but I do. My point is, having a representative for the state of California, for the state of Iowa, so the governor can be like, "Yo, this is what we're trying to do statewide." So communicate that with everybody else.
I think that
is what I'm talking about.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Also, an additional thing, and this is something that you know, states' rights Republicans should like. Is so there could be a voluntary association of, you know, assembly of representatives from states or whatever, and they could, you know, sit down and debate measures. There are all kinds of laws that states can do that the federal government can't, because the federal government has, you know, enumerated powers.
Sure.
And the states have plenipotentiary powers.
Yes.
Like the states can do, like, so long as it doesn't violate the Constitution or, you know, rights and things like that, but the state can do has an awful lot of control over what's going on. And you could, and so things can differ between different states, but you could have like a compact, like a bunch of states are like, we're all going to hammer it out. This is the same law and we're all going to pass it. And we're all going to agree to it. And
you're called a lobbyist. Isn't that what those guys
do? No,
are
but
doing?
I mean, you could have like a lobbyist do that, but you could have like an official assembly where like they have debates and whatever, and it would function much like the old Congress in the, under the Articles of Confederation. You know, like the states wouldn't give up any of their sovereignty. And, if, you know, like this body wouldn't have any power to compel them.
But they could harmonize their laws.
But they could harmonize their laws in ways that they can't really right now. So that's, I mean, those are thoughts I have. Some of which are, I don't know, good, bad. The music's come, so I don't have to decide.
Happy Easter. We're all going to be resurrected on Sunday, so
yeah.
Hopefully a new beginning.
What is so good about this Friday, really? Why is it good? I don't know. Anyway.
Jesus Christ was a white lantern. Prove me wrong.
Are you saying, wait, a white lantern?
Yes.
I don't remember what they do. I thought they were the blue lantern. Wasn't he Hope? The blue lanterns?
No. The white lanterns resurrected people.
Oh,
they're in life.
Right. Sorry,
the White Lanterns are covering like life and creation.
This is recent DC comic stuff
no,
that I don't
like
really remember.
50 years ago, but that's what my tattoos are. I have the blue and green lantern.
I didn't pay enough attention when I owned a comic book store. Clearly,
my God.
Enjoy this weekend with your family and your loved ones and your friends, and we'll
and then
see
on
you
Monday,
next week.
And have fun hunting for Easter eggs, which
and then,
is
and then,
fun.
And then on Monday, go to like a nice candy store and get some half off.
Oh,
rabbits.
Good point. Yes,
me and my aunt are going up to Richardson's in Deerfield.
See
we're
what they
get
have left.
Like $5 for 3 pounds of chocolate. It's gonna be great.
It is. Anyway, right. So on that note, have a good weekend, everybody. This is going to do it for Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio. Coming up next is a nice little selection of music, followed by Subculture at 8, Table of Contents at 10, and OK Asia at midnight.
New thing, the first hour of Kicking It for Peace, Love, and Understanding is now at 7 p.m., just after our show.
Oh, is that happening now?
Correct.
Excellent.
Cool.
All right, so get ready to kick it. Anyway, you can catch a podcast of us over the weekend, and we have a repeat broadcast Monday afternoon at 4, which we really appreciate. So that'll do it for now. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Civil Politics is a member of the Planetside Podcast Network. To learn more, go to planetsidepodcasts.com.